ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Good morning. Welcome to AM. It's Thursday, the 18th of December. I'm Sabra Lane, coming to you from Nipaluna, Hobart. Grief has turned to outright anger against the federal government, with demands the Prime Minister accept personal responsibility for the killing of 15 people in Sunday's massacre at Bondi Beach. The government says it's open to further changes in cracking down on hate speech, but won't set up a royal commission, saying such an inquiry would take too long in coming up with solutions that are required right now. Samantha Dick reports.
Jewish Australians reflecting on Sunday's horrific massacre describe fear, anger, and a deep sense of abandonment. Among them is Josh Frydenberg, once Australia's most senior Jewish cabinet minister.
Australia is not safe for Jews, and this attack has been an attack on the soul of Australia.
The former treasurer has blamed the Albanese government for failing to prevent the attack, and he's compiled a list of demands, including targeting hate preachers.
Not just to ban the preachers, but also to ban these radical Islamic organisations like Hizbut al-Tahrir, which are banned in the UK, banned in Germany, banned in moderate Muslim states, but is not banned here in Australia.
Australia's special envoy to combat anti-Semitism, Gillian Siegel, also recommends stronger protections from hate speech and incitement in her report provided to the government in July. Among those in despair over what they see as a government failure is Rabbi Mendel Super, whose 24-year-old brother Yaakov was shot on Sunday and remains in hospital.
I feel like we've been betrayed by our government. The government failed.
The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, is clearly registering the rising anger in the Jewish community.
We have outlawed hate speech that can lead to violence. If we need to examine them, if there's a need to strengthen them, we're certainly up for whatever is necessary.
Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke says he recognises there is more work to be done to combat hate speech, but insists the government is taking action.
I've never said that you get to the point where this is adequate. You don't. What I've been saying is that there's been a series of responses that we've made, all of which matter, but none of which are the end of the story.
But Professor Greg Barton, who specialises in global Islamic politics at Deakin University, says more must be done to hold to account those spreading bigotry under the veil of preaching religion.
I think it needs to be reined in because it's clear, and they're sort of testing how far they can push things, and I think the government needs to say, well, we've got laws in place prohibiting hate speech, we're going to enforce them.
Meanwhile, Josh Frydenberg is also calling for a royal commission examining what went wrong and how to prevent a similar tragedy.
This is a royal commission that needs to look backwards as well as forwards. There are lots of questions that haven't been sufficiently answered. How did these people get guns? How were they radicalised? How were they trained overseas?
But Tony Burke has poured cold water on that proposition.
You don't want the delays that are involved in a royal commission. The priority has to be, what actions do we take to keep people safe?
However, Professor Barton says questions remain over whether Australia's top spy agency, ASIO, kept tabs on Naveed Akram, both in the years after he came to their attention in 2019 and again when he and his father last month travelled to a known Islamic militant training hotspot in the Philippines.
Samantha Dick reporting there. The Israeli Prime Minister's office has issued a statement saying Benjamin Netanyahu's spoken with Rabbi Yoram Ullman overnight. He's the father-in-law of Rabbi Eli Schlanger, who was murdered on Sunday and whose funeral was held yesterday. Mr. Netanyahu's also phoned Aaron Ostrovsky, a human rights lawyer who was wounded in the terrorist attack. The Israeli PM says the Bondi attack's the result of anti-Semitism running rampant in the face of what he says are lax policies of local authorities and the Australian government, which he says is obligated to act immediately with all available tools to eradicate terrorism and restore security to the Jewish communities. Mark Dreyfus was the Federal Attorney General in the first term of the Albanese government, and he is Jewish. He's the member for Isaacs in Melbourne. He joins me now. Welcome to AM.
Good morning, Sabra.
Mark, condolences. The Jewish community is small in Australia. You must have known some of those killed or injured.
The Jewish community in Australia is very small, and everyone knows somebody, not, and very often it's someone that they've known closely. They might be related. They've met them through friendship. They've met them through Jewish community activities. It's impossible to convey how the depth of distress and pain that is being felt in the Australian Jewish community right now, but really across the whole community.
The former Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, says Prime Minister Anthony Albanese should accept personal responsibility for the 15 who died. The parents of one of the victims says that they feel betrayed by Mr. Albanese. Should he? Are you worried by where the tone of the debate is going, or is that kind of anger to be expected?
There are many people speaking out now who are reflecting the anger and the pain and the grief that is being felt. And that's understandable. I say again, this has been an extraordinarily distressing event for the Australian Jewish community, for all Australians. But I think I'd echo Gillian Siegel's words. Gillian's our special envoy for combating anti-Semitism, as she said right away on Monday, blame's not a very useful sentiment. What we need to do now is work together. And I've said from the start, we can and should do more. We've got to do everything that we can. We've got to work with each other on what can be done. We've got a plan from Gillian Siegel with a whole lot of useful suggestions directed at federal government actions, at state government actions, at actions across the community. We need to pick that up. Many of those suggestions and recommendations that Gillian Siegel made back in July have already been acted on. She herself has said that. Others still need to be acted on. We need to accelerate. The Prime Minister has said we need to do whatever is necessary to combat anti-Semitism in our community. Our Foreign Minister has said that we will dedicate every resource needed to make sure that Jewish Australians are safe and protected, because that's got to be the objective. We've got to make Australia a place where Jews can feel safe. And there's so many things that I think we can work on. It won't be just one thing, but there will be many things that we should be doing. We've got to do them quickly. We've got to do them with great energy, and we've got to do them together.
New South Wales Parliament's being recalled next week to deal with gun laws. Should federal parliament be recalled much earlier to deal with this? Should Gillian Siegel's report be adopted and acted upon in full? Should Hizbut il-Tahrir be outlawed here now, as it is banned in other countries?
That list that you've just reeled off shows us that there's no one thing. There are many things. I said on Monday that although we had passed tough hate speech laws in 2024, and some people have been charged under those laws, we need to review those hate speech laws to make sure that the settings are right. We need to have another look at protest laws. This is largely a state legislative matter, but there's some things that the federal government can do to see whether the settings are right there. We need to work, and a lot of Gillian Siegel's plan is about this. We need to work on education in schools and on education in universities. What happened on Australian university campuses in early 2024 meant that Jewish students and Jewish staff at Australian universities didn't feel safe. Some universities responded, I think, appropriately. Others did not. They didn't act nearly fast enough, and we need to make sure that never occurs again. And yes, there are some things that we can do on gun control. It's not in any sense the only answer, but Australia's already got some of the toughest gun laws in the world after with the response to Port Arthur. But a number of the suggestions that John Howard made after Port Arthur still haven't been acted on. And one of them I picked up as the minister responsible for police federally in 2023, following the shooting of the two officers at Weambler, which was the national firearms register that can be accelerated. And the Prime Minister said already on Monday that it's going to be accelerated. So and there's things we can do in relation to counter-terrorism, because let's not forget the investigation's not completed into these two murderers who perpetrated this atrocity at Bondi on Sunday. But what we already know is that they appear to have been motivated by an extremist Islamist ideology, and that it's a terrorist act. And that tells us that another matter to be looked at is our counter-terrorism settings.
What about a royal commission? People are calling for a royal commission. The government is trying to walk away from that idea, saying that things are needed now. Should there be a royal commission so that we can have that accountability?
I'd ask Australians listening to reflect on the fact that royal commissions, I've appeared in about eight and I've set up two, are often very slow. We need to act. And we already know so many things that can be done and more things that can be done. I'm not saying never to a royal commission, but I do know, having observed in recent years some very, very long-running royal commissions that really served the main purpose they served was to put off action, because people would say, oh, we're waiting. Think about the Disability Royal Commission or the Aged Care Royal Commission or the Veteran Suicide Royal Commission. While those royal commissions were running for years and years, it was often said, oh, we need to wait to see what the royal commission said. Well, that's not what's needed right now. What's needed right now is more action. Some of the things that I've just talked about, and some of the things that the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister and our Home Affairs Minister have all said, we're going to do more in this area. We're going to make sure that whatever resources are needed are now put into making sure that Australia is again a place where Jews can feel safe, because it isn't now. It might be that more money is needed, yet more money, in addition to the tens of millions of dollars that have already been put in for physical security of Jewish community institutions, schools, synagogues. I wish this wasn't needed, but it is, and that needs to be looked at too. But we need to strengthen respect and trust across our community. It's something that we all Australians have to work on.
Mark Dreyfus, thank you very much for joining AM this morning.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
As we just heard Mr. Dreyfus say, during the past 2 years, many Jewish community members have sounded the alarm about rising anti-Semitism in Australia. The worst examples have made news, but many day-to-day instances haven't, and they say they've become normalised in daily life. Kimberly Price reports.
In the 2 years since the October 7 attacks and throughout the Israel-Gaza war, Melbourne resident Alexandra Colshaw has seen increased anti-Semitism.
I saw a barrage of Jew hatred online in the comments of social media posts shared by non-Jewish friends. The synagogue in Perth, in which I grew up, was targeted with vandalism and they received a bomb threat. I've almost lost count of the amount of anti-Semitic graffiti that I've seen around Melbourne.
Alexandra Colshaw says many in the Jewish community aren't strangers to anti-Semitism, but the rise in prejudice has made the 29-year-old lawyer rethink her identity.
I've always worn a Star of David necklace, but after October 7th, I took my necklace off for a few months because I was worried about being publicly Jewish.
In Sydney, a high-profile Jewish bakery has closed its doors after the Bondi Beach terror attack, with a message posted on the shop's window saying it can no longer ensure the safety of its staff and customers. Avner's Bakery in Surry Hills described 2 years of almost ceaseless anti-Semitic harassment, vandalism and intimidation. Meanwhile, Sydney resident Linda Ben-Menashe says her daughters have at times hidden their identity.
My daughter, who works in a hospital in Western Sydney, you know, is told not to wear her name badge, which is identifiably Jewish. It's a Hebrew family name.
Linda Ben-Menashe is the president of the National Council of Jewish Women Australia. She says many Jewish families are taking precautions.
We did a survey very recently asking women, like, how are you feeling? And more than one in two felt unsafe in this country. Two in five Australian Jewish women said they hide their identity. People are afraid to send their kids to school in a Jewish school uniform.
Sydney-based Rabbi Yitzhak Barber already takes certain measures to avoid anti-Semitism.
There are certain taxi stands in the city I will not go to. So the carefree Australia has gone. We've lost our innocence.
Simon Tedeschi is a concert pianist and writer. He believes people holding anti-Semitic views have become more confident expressing them.
Words lead to violence, and this is what Jews have been saying for 2 years. We are scared and that something is going to happen, and now something has happened. There's no going back. This is not a Jewish problem as much as it is an Australian problem. If you notice something that makes you uneasy, it's important to name it. Words so easily lead to violence and the normalization of stereotypes and scapegoating.
Simon Tedeschi describes anti-Semitism as the disturbing cousin of racism.
Kimberly Price reporting there. Reporter Alison Showers at Bondi Beach, and I spoke with her a short time ago for the latest. Alison, what has Naveed Akram been charged with?
Well, the alleged Bondi gunman, 24-year-old Naveed Akram, has now been formally charged with 59 offences over the mass shooting on Sunday that's been designated by police as a terrorist attack. Those offences include 15 counts of murder, committing a terrorist act, and 40 counts of causing grievous bodily harm to a person with intent to murder. Now, the maximum penalty for committing a terrorist act and murder are life imprisonment. The other gunman, Naveed Akram's father, Sajid Akram, was killed at the scene. Yesterday, the 24-year-old appeared in court via audiovisual link and was represented by a legal aid lawyer after he woke up from his coma. And we understand he is still in hospital under police guard. Police said that they wanted his medical condition to be appropriate before they laid charges, and that it was important to be fair to him that he had appropriate cognitive ability to understand what exactly was happening. In court, the 24-year-old made no application for bail, and it was formally refused, with his case scheduled to be mentioned again next week on December the 22nd.
And more funerals will be held today?
That's right, Sabra. Grieving families are laying to rest loved ones this week, including today the family of 10-year-old victim Matilda, who will be farewelled at a ceremony in Sydney's eastern suburbs later today. Here at Bondi Pavilion, where I am now, there's a poster of her hanging on the gates, and there's also another one on the wall with her name and a picture of a cartoon bumblebee. It seems to be a sort of nickname for her. I noticed one of the messages here in the floral tributes reads, "Precious Matilda B, forever in our hearts." And she has been remembered this week as a joyful, happy child. Yesterday, her school paid tribute to her in a statement saying she was our little ray of sunshine. Her grieving parents have also spoken out in recent days, her mother saying that she couldn't imagine what sort of person could pull the trigger on a little girl running for her father. And the parents also said that they had moved from Ukraine and named their daughter Matilda because it was the most Australian name they could think of, and they asked people to remember her name.
And the Prime Minister joined other leaders last night at an interfaith event. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, Sabra, this was a public memorial service that was held at the St Mary's Catholic Cathedral in Sydney near Hyde Park last night. It was attended by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and the Premier of New South Wales, Chris Minns, among other dignitaries and faith leaders. 15 candles were lit in honour of each of the victims of Sunday's attack. And the Catholic Archbishop of Sydney, Anthony Fisher, in his address to the crowd, he took aim at the weekly pro-Palestinian protests that had happened in Hyde Park over the last few years, which he said turned up the temperature with inflammatory slogans and messages that made violence thinkable. We also heard from the Great Synagogue's Chief Rabbi Benjamin Elton, who told the gathering that anti-Semitism had run riot in Australia in recent years, and it was time for a national soul-searching. The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, also addressed the crowd.
Our prayers this evening are for the souls of the innocent people whose lives were so cruelly and violently stolen away at Bondi Beach that Sunday evening. We pray with those who knew and loved them.
The Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and before him Alison Chow at Bondi Beach. That's AM for today. Thanks for your company. I'm Sabra Lane.
Hi, I'm Andy Park with the ABC News Daily podcast. You know, catastrophe has a way of shaping leaders, whether it's Winston Churchill during World War II, George Bush during 9/11, or Scott Morrison during the Black Summer bushfires. It may define Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's leadership too. Today, the chief political correspondent at The Conversation, Michelle Grattan, on whether Anthony Albanese can rise to the challenge. Look for the ABC News Daily podcast on the ABC Listen app.